Please stand for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 1, starting on verse 1, and this is what the word of God says. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. Father, we thank You for another opportunity that You've given us that we're able to gather corporately. So Father, we pray that we would make much of Your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that You'll grant us understanding that we may behold the wonderful things out of Your law. God, grant us clarity in heart and mind as we look into Your word, how important Your word is in our lives today. So we do pray, Father, that You will help us by Your Spirit to understand Your word. We pray, Father, that You would be with Your people here as we are gathering in person, as well for those who are watching online with us at this very moment. Lord, we pray, Father, for our families who are going through some difficulties or some challenges in their lives. I pray, Father, that You would guide and lead them, and may they sense Your presence. Whatever struggles, whatever afflictions that they may have, Father, uncertainties in their lives, I pray, Father, that this may be an opportunity for them to come to You, to run to You, to cast all their burdens before You, because You care for them. And You invite us, Lord, to let go of those burdens. So, Father, I pray that we would learn to trust You, no matter how difficulties or challenges that Your people are facing at this very moment. God, we thank You for the freedom that we have, that we're here in outside of our building, in this tent, that we're able to gather for one purpose, to worship You. May we worship You in spirit and in truth. God, we do ask that You would forgive us of our sins. We thank You that Christ has finished the work on the cross, that our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. God, may we truly come to You confidently and boldly to Your grace, to Your throne. We praise You for who You are. We thank You for the work that You're doing here in the lives of Your people, our Resolve Bible Church. God, we pray for our brother Stanley as he's en route to South Korea. Thank You, Father, for making a way for him to start this new adventure of his life. God, I pray that You would watch over the airplane that he's in. We pray, Father, for alertness for the pilot and the co-pilot. We pray, Father, for the airplane, for all the mechanics that it's involved, Father, for him and the other people will get there safely. Oh God, I pray for Stanley that he would seek You with all his heart and mind and soul. God, that You would draw him in this new adventure that You have put in. God, I pray that he would see You for who You are. God, we thank You for even for that moment that we were able to talk and to just to pray over, Lord. We thank You that he's comforted by Your grace and what he has gone through this past week, God. So we thank You for Your faithfulness. God, we rejoice in Your kindness and how You have answered prayers in the lives of Your people here at Resolve Bible Church. We thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness. Indeed, Father, when we wake up in the morning, it is fresh, it is new. Great is Your faithfulness. God, we thank You for Your guidance and Your direction and how You're working all these things out for our good, for Your glory. God, I pray for our families who are watching online that You would be with them as well. that you would enable them to be attentive, to stay focused and remove any distractions, even here with us, Father, with all the noise in the background, that just help us remove the noise, that we can focus on you, God, that we would magnify our Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us to do just that. So we give you praise and we thank you for this time. Lead us now as we look into your word. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may all sit down. The title of our series in the book of Proverbs is Practical Wisdom for Living. Practical wisdom. And the key word there is wisdom. And this is what we'll talk about for the next couple of minutes. And if you turn your Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 5, it is important for us to see who the author is of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, like the book of Psalms, names multiple individuals as the authors of its various chapters or sections. In chapter 3, verse 5 and 5 through 9, and the Word of God says of 1 Kings, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. God speaking directly to Solomon, and God asked him, here, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Verse 9, give your servant therefore an understanding mind. Listen to his prayer. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this young, great people? Excuse me. In chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. In 1 Kings chapter 4, 29, and the Word of God says, listen, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Israelite, and Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Verse 32, he also spoke how many proverbs? 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Excuse me. If you look back to Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 10, verse 1. So in chapter 1 of Proverbs, you would see the Proverbs of whom? Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son make a glad father. But a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Chapter 25, verse 1. chapter 25, these also are proverbs of Solomon, which the man of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Solomon was uniquely qualified to serve, excuse me, as the principal author for this book of wise sayings. As we have seen and recount the different passages in the book of 1 Kings as well as in the Proverbs, as we have read 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 5 through 9, we count Solomon asking God for wisdom in his reign over Israel. A request God eventually granted, as we have read in chapter 4 verse 29 through 31. Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 are the introduction to the book. So today we're in Proverbs 9, so that's still an introduction. So from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 9 is just an introduction of the book. It's a long introduction. It reminds me of when I'm listening to Pastor Nas a sermon. His introduction is really long. Not so much of Pastor Junior, but really more specifically, Pastor Nas' introduction is an hour long. That could be mine. Well, actually, I go home, my wife tells me, why is your introduction so long? My point one is really long. So this section in chapter 1, chapter 1, 1 through 7, is the introduction to the introduction. So this section tells us what the book is about, the book's purpose, as we will see in the next few minutes. The final two chapters of the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, was written by Agor. And of course, a lot of you women love the book of Proverbs chapter 31. I don't know why. But chapter 31 was written by Lemuel as their authors individually, though the identities of this man remain mysterious in history. The question before us is this: why the book of Proverbs matters? I don't know if you have been reading the book of Proverbs. To some of you who have raised your hand, why am I reading? Just because Pastor Rudy asked me to? Or encourage, right, to read the book of Proverbs. So why? What is a biblical proverb? The Hebrew noun proverb is related to a verb that means to represent or to be like. So a proverb is a little model of reality, a little verbal representation of some aspect of our what? Of our daily lives. And by picking a proverb up and turning it over and over, looking it from all angles, we can see something about our lives before we step out into the actual reality. Proverbs accomplishes something no other biblical book does. It simply compiles numerous short instructions for living an effective life on earth. While other books articulate profound theological truths like the book of Ephesians, lengthy narratives of triumph and failure or prophetic preaching to a disobedient people, Proverbs concerns itself completely with instructing people in the path of wisdom. You see, the writers of the book recognize the diverse circumstances of a person's life and provided principles to apply in a variety of situations rather than instructions to follow in only specific instances. I remember in my early years of marriage, I didn't realize I had a problem of anger. So my wife had to point that out in my life. And so she encouraged me and pushed me to, you better seek help with your anger. And so I come and realize that I had a problem with anger. So I met with a pastor that I did not know in my previous life. I had no connection with this pastor. I just searched him up. And then as I met with this pastor, and the first thing that he said was, you already know what to do. But you know what? Let me give you something. Let me direct you. I met with him one time and he told me, look, open the book of Proverbs and study anger. So that's what I did. I went home for a whole month and just looked up the word and anything related to anger and speech in the book of Proverbs. And I'm thankful for the guidance and the wisdom of that pastor. I forgot his name. But I was thankful that God brought me to his life at that very moment to address the sin in my life, in my marriage, in my family, of anger. So through the book of Proverbs, had helped me to really battle the sin in my life in studying through the book of Proverbs. Through the book of Proverbs, God teaches us in the wisdom we need throughout the long and complicated path of our everyday lives. It is the practicality of the book of Proverbs that some people underestimate. This book is indeed practical, but it's not simplistic or moralistic. What I'm saying about moralistic is some people are like, well, I'm just going to live this out and see what happens. It is good for me to follow. It's good for my moral attitude. What God is going after through this book is change deep inside our hearts. So don't neglect in reading the book of Proverbs. And what God is pointing us here, as we read through this chapter, through this book, it is that God desires that there's this deep change in each and one of us. As I have shared to you my personal testimony in regards to anger in my life, I'm praising God for that and how God directed me in this book through that pastor, that there was a deep change in my heart. God's wisdom sinks in as we ponder over this biblical proverb slowly and thoughtfully. I know as you're reading the book of Proverbs, you're probably wondering, how does this relate to me? And it is something, it's a discipline that you and I need to have as you read the book of Proverbs, is that you need to read how? Thoughtfully and carefully. If you need to meditate on it, chew on it the whole day, do that. I'm sure if I could ask you, what's your favorite proverb? Maybe a lot of you would turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, for God so loved the world. No, it doesn't say that. All things work together for good. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Trust in the Lord. Right? You can meditate on that passage over and over. If you recall, we went through and studied the book of James. It's a smaller portion like Proverbs. You see chapter 1 and it's dealing with trials and affliction right there. Rejoice in your trials. Right? You may not understand the difficulties and the affliction that you're in, but James is encouraging us in that book to what? To rejoice. So it's very practical in this way. This book is not a quick fix. Yeah, you said trust in the Lord, right? I'm still going through some difficulties, but you're telling me to trust in this book, when you read it, when you meditate on it, it's not a quick fix to your issue of life. It is ancient wisdom from long human experience endorsed by God himself. The book of Proverbs is a gospel book. Because it is a part of the Bible, that means the book of Proverbs is good news for bad people. It is about grace for sinners. It is about hope for failures. It is about wisdom for dumb people like me. This book is Jesus himself coming to us as our counselor, as our sage, as our life teacher. I don't know if you've seen the book of Proverbs in that way, that it is a gospel book. It is so true. It is about grace for sinners. When the pastor directed me to the book of Proverbs, and that's the only thing I could think of in all those days and weeks, just meditating and realizing and how sinful I was with my anger issue toward my wife and my children. So I'm thankful for that. What's the big idea in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs states its theme explicitly very early in the book in chapter 1, verse 7. And this is the theme that you and I will see throughout the book of Proverbs as you read and study Proverbs. Verse 7 of chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord refers to our viewing Him with a respect that He deserves, that we worship and that we would respect God. That's the kind of fear that we're looking at. It means living our lives in light of what we know of Him, holding Him in the highest estimation, and depending on Him with humble trust. That's what it looks like for us to have fear in the Lord. Only then, Proverbs teaches, will we discover knowledge and wisdom, as you will see in chapter 9, verse 10. So let us not underestimate or underrate what we have here in the book of Proverbs. Biblical wisdom is more than what we find in a fortune cookie. Right? A lot of you get excited when you guys go to a Chinese restaurant. Right? I think they're the only place that have fortune cookies. And like, what is my wisdom for today? Right? Well, today you will meet someone good looking, and that will be your husband. And like, yes, I finally got my fortune. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about biblical wisdom here when we open the very Word of God. This wisdom from Christ is a matter of life and death. In Proverbs 13, verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 13, verse 14. In writing the Proverbs, King Solomon hoped that his readers would attain a practical righteousness in all things, that we would do this by living our lives under the authority and direction from God. That's the goal of King Solomon as he was writing this. And it's something I want us to see as we study, as you do your own personal reading for the next 31 days. It's that you would see a transformed life. King Solomon specifically explained the book's purpose, as we would see in verse 2 through 6. Focusing on imparting understanding that would impact every aspect of our lives. Wisdom then involves appropriating a measure of humility. And that's something that you want to see in your own life, that humility will increase in your life. First before God, and then before others. And that's something that we would see, that as we look at wisdom and how we apply wisdom in our lives, that you would humble yourself before a holy God. Proverbs offers us future-oriented wisdom and guidance so we can make wise decisions and live in ways that please and exalt God. So the goal of Proverbs, the goal of Proverbs is to grow ever closer to God, who is wisdom. Knowing God is a proper definition of the good life. So the question is, how do I apply the book of Proverbs? Read it, then what? Live it. Not just read it, but you and I need to respond how? By living the very Word of God in our lives daily. So Proverbs contains some of the most applicable nuggets of truth in all of the Bible. Most of the Proverbs are brief statements packed over imagery of the real world. This approach allows us to see very clearly how any particular proverb might be applied to any number of every situations we encounter. From, listen to this, right? When you see this, when you read the book of Proverbs, it even gives you instruction of how getting up in from your bed, getting out from your bed, to building a strong foundation in our relationship with others. Proverbs reminds us that God concerns himself not just with the big cataclysmic events of life, but even those mundane, the invisible, the things that you don't see, moments in our lives as well. The question is, are you following God even in those seemingly small circumstances? What I want us to see, that to allow Proverbs to refocus your attention on all the hidden moments of your life. The book of Proverbs will not allow you to be a passive learner, merely soaking up information. It requires you to put God's wisdom to work in your life. I hope that you understand that. And the same thing when you and I come to the Word of God, when James tells us be doers of God's Word, not just what? Not just hearers, not just listeners, but you are to be a doer of his word. And I love the way you responded last Wednesday when I have pleaded, when I've asked and I prayed with you that we needed help to set up. You see, you heard it, and there was a need, and guess what you did? You stepped up. And this is what we need to see, is that we can't be a passive learner of the Word of God. And this is something that you and I need to analyze and really search our own hearts. Are we being passive in how we approach God's Word, in how we listen to His Word daily? I don't want just us to soak up all this technical words, all this information as we go through this series, but that you and I be doers of His Word. That indeed it requires us to put God's wisdom to work in your life. So the question is, are you ready to actively live the wisdom of God's Word? Write that down. Am I ready to actively live the wisdom of God's Word? May that be your prayer as we study the book of Proverbs together. And that as we see sections after sections of the book of Proverbs, that you'll be actively seeking the wisdom of God and how to respond and how to live this truth out. I want you to be ready to put into practice the power of Proverbs for you to have a transformed, an active life. As we turn our attention to chapter 1, and that was my introduction of the introduction. As we look at this in chapter 1, the main idea of this is a relationship with the Lord will make you wise for everyday life. And as we see this chapter, in this section particularly, it's how important that you need to be certain that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you read through the book of Proverbs and you're just trying to live it out in your own power, in your own strength, in your own understanding, you will fail. But we need a guidance. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to respond accordingly, that we need His help. When I was talking about responding to the anger issue, the sin issue of my life, I praise God that the Holy Spirit was there to tell me that I am sinning, that I have sinned in my life in regards to anger. So I can just read a book. It's like, you know, I got to follow this, what the Word of God is saying. But I needed the Holy Spirit to be living it out. It doesn't matter how much the desire that I have to change, but I can't. And you won't either. You will need to to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the priority that you need to have. You see, people desperately want to win a life. They want to succeed in everyday life, and Christians are no different. People search for tips from books, from experts on TV talks, or even on the web. Like, just Google it. How can I have a better life? How can I have a good life? How can I have a happy life? Google that and see how many searches you'll get. The problem is that many Christians look everywhere but the Bible to learn how to win at parenting. If you're struggling with your parenting, if you need wisdom and directions in your parenting, open the book of Proverbs. If you have issues with finances, I don't have that problem because I have my wife. Because, well, if she's not there, then I will have a problem. Then I need to study the book of Proverbs. If you have difficulties with marriage, if you have a problem with workplace and the other areas of life, the book of Proverbs will be a helpful, encouraging tool in your life. You know, when people struggle with those, the world struggle with those, and looking for those things to win a life with different aspects of their lives, they would look to who? They would listen to Oprah, to Dr. Phil. Even Christians who want a Christian perspective on these topics are more likely to look to a Christian book than to the book, the Bible. Right? And a lot of people will jump in and, like, you know what, I'm struggling in this area about marriage, then let's go ahead and ask Pastor Rudy, what's a good book, Pastor? I say, you know what, turn to the book of Proverbs. So I'm thankful for that pastor. He didn't give me a book. He didn't give me no CD. He told me, you know what, you already know what to do. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Sit there and study the book of Proverbs for the next month about anger. So he pointed me to the Bible. You see, so often we don't want the word. Instead, we want practical tips and strategies that have been taken from the world. So we believe the Bible is God's word and it's authoritative, but somehow buy into the misconception that it doesn't do a great job of addressing the nitty-gritty details of daily life. You know, don't get that misconception about how you approach the Word of God, that you're more excited about reading other people's book rather than being in the book, the Bible. Those books are helpful. You could learn from different authors, different Bible teachers. But you need the very Word of God. Amen? We believe the Bible is God's Word. And so we must apply that. We must be active in that approach. So Christians will do more than skim the Word devotionally to get some helpful tips for their day. I hope that's not you. Well, you can just have, they have a 5-minute devotional. What's that about, right? Is that all you want, to spend time with God, but yet when you're in other things, you spend more time in other things, but yet you take time, 2-minute nuggets, or what's the word for the day? We need the very word of God. However, the problem doesn't stop there. The problem is that even if you do look to the book, to the Word of God, and even if you do somehow pull out some tips for how to live a better life, more often than not, we don't follow what we already, say it with me, what we already know. Right? I mean, you've been a Christian all these years. You've been following Christ and walking with Christ. How many of you are actively following and responding in what God is telling you to do? I mean, you know so much, you have this head knowledge, and yet, how many of us are actually following what God is telling us to do already? Oftentimes, we know what to do, but we can't bring ourselves to what? To do it. We know it here, right? We know it here, but what? We can't act on it, right? It's kind of like, you know, Pastor, I heard you. I heard what you're telling me that, you know, you need help. But you can't get yourself out of the bed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? You're probably busy on whatever you are doing. Right? Whatever it may be. Or even trying to wake up on time to be with the Lord. Or to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You already know what to do, but you can't bring yourselves to that. Think of how often we mess up. Think of the hurtful words you've said to a friend or your spouse or your parents. Think of the times you've said more than you should say. Think of the times you spoke too quickly and could not get your words back. Think about the time someone confronted you with something you needed to hear, and in anger you blew them off with, "Who do you think you are?" Think about the times you should have lovingly confronted someone and did not. Think about the person whose feelings you hurt. Think about the lie you desperately hope your parents won't find out, or your boyfriend or girlfriend won't find out, or your wife or your husband won't find out. Think about those things you kept hidden from your parents. Don't turn around and look at your parents. Think about the time you scream, "I hate you," to your parents, or to your mom, or to your sisters, or to your siblings. Think about the times you brag about yourself so others would think you are something. "I did that. That's me. I set this up." Think about the times your children saw you do something you had told them not to do, or heard you say something you told them not to say. Think about that grudge, that bitterness you've held and refused to let go because someone really hurt you. Think about the times you have been stingy with your money instead of generous or a person with a real need. Think about the times you did not finish your job assignment or homework on time because you got sidetracked with, finish the sentence, what would it be? Okay, Drava for me, Facebook for some of you, Instagram for some of you, whatever social media or your TV show, whatever it may be, that you're keeping yourselves busy. Think about the people you're jealous of because they got the promotion that passed you by. Think about the times you've nagged or ignored helping your spouse. Amen? You are like all looking at each other like, "Man, you've been nagging me. I haven't been helping you with the chores in the house." I know it hurts. I'm stepping on your toes. I'm so sorry. Not really. Think about how you repeat the same dumb mistake over and over and don't learn from it. My wife tells me that all the time. On and on and on we could go. What does all of this tell us? It tells us we have a major problem that no amount of tips or ideas will solve. It tells us that we are not wise and we are often what? Foolish. It tells us that we are broken and don't work right. It tells us that we are in desperate need of wisdom to make decisions and navigate our way through life. Amen? Well, maybe I'm just speaking to myself. I'm probably the only one messed up here in this place. But we can't just say that we need wisdom and then go after it. Since we are broken, we don't even follow the wisdom we already know. We do things we know are hurtful and foolish. We just can't help ourselves. The Bible says at creation there was perfect harmony between people and God, and between people themselves and between people and the world around them in Genesis chapter 1 and in chapter 2. there was an order to things. Human sin, the fall broke all of that because people sought knowledge and wisdom apart from whom? Apart from God in Genesis chapter 3. That messed everything up. Because of what? Say it with me. Because of sin. There are barriers now between us and God, between us and others, and between us and the world around us. We no longer rightly perceive the way the world works, and we no longer recognize the order, so we can navigate through daily life. You see, God created the world with an order to work in a certain way, and we must live according to that to be truly wiser. But in our brokenness, we don't see it. You see, Proverbs is all about restoring that harmony through Jesus Christ. Now you have a different light when you turn, when you open the book of Proverbs. Because knowing that Proverbs is all about restoring that harmony in what was broken and how we are broken now because of Christ. And this is what I was telling you at the onset, is to have a relationship with Christ. You can't just read the book of Proverbs and think that, oh, I'm going to change. You need that harmony. You need that relationship with Christ. Proverbs is all about becoming wise in everyday life through a relationship with Jesus Christ through the gospel. Proverbs is all about becoming wise in everyday life through a relationship with Jesus through the gospel. It's about the life of the kingdom that God always meant for humankind to live. When our vertical relationship with God is right through Christ, we can be right with others in the world around us. That's beautiful. When you and I really recognize in how our relationship is with our Savior Jesus Christ, all our relationship with other people will be right. If you and I are walking in the Spirit, if you and I listening and abiding in His Word, our relationship with Him is right, in our relationship, then our relationship with others will be in a harmony. So as we have seen what chapter 1, verse 1 looks like, we turn to verse 2. Wisdom is correction and understanding. So Proverbs 1:2 says the purpose of the book is to know wisdom and discipline, or understanding and correction. So what is wisdom? One way to put it is that wisdom is an ability to make good decisions based on knowledge, then act on those decisions in a way that's effective and makes a difference. But accurate knowledge alone does not translate into better decision or wiser living. Wisdom is the kind of knowledge that helps you know what is going on around you. But at the heart of godly wisdom is an ability not to become distracted from those things that are most important in life, and never to set them aside even as we adopt a certain legitimate changes in our society. For amidst all the noise, the data, the trends, the traffic, the hurry, the turmoil, the bad advice, the Bible, the book, remains our sole reliable source of unchanging, timeless wisdom. However many ideas or help that you can get from other people, but when you and I turn to the Word of God, it never changes. It is timeless when it comes to wisdom. So it is important for you and I to what? To study the very Word of God. The question is, are you able to read situations and people correctly? If not, you need discipline. This requires the humility to recognize that you don't know everything and to receive counsel from another. Can I ask you a question? How do you respond to correction? How do you respond to teaching or to counsel? That has a lot to do with whether or not you are wise. The know-it-all is not as wise as you think. The Bible says he's a fool. This word instruction or discipline entails a discipleship type relationship where you can be warned about going on in the wrong direction, being rebuked when needed, corrected to go in a different way or think differently, and punished if you do not listen. Do you have any relationship in your life right now where someone can correct you? That's what I'm talking about, that relationship. When you know that you're going in a different direction, and that's why it's so helpful that you and I, what, stay connected. Amen? Life together is what? Is better. When you and I are connected, when you're looking at this and what Proverbs is saying in verse 2, and the relationship that we have, are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to be rebuked when you are not walking in the right way? Are you humble enough to receive that instruction when your brothers or your sisters come alongside of you and like, hey, you're going in the wrong way. You're getting sidetracked. Let me pull you back and let's walk this way. It is a discipleship type relationship. Do you have any relationship in your life where someone can call you to account and say, what do you think you're doing? Has someone come alongside to you lately when it comes to your own life and whatever you're going through in life and ask you that very question, what do you think you're doing? Then when they ask that question, something must be wrong in your life. You may be walking in the wrong direction and you need to get back to the line. And we need each other, amen? This is so important for us that we gather as a church. That we stay connected together in a weekly basis. Coming to church once a week and even watching online, it is not enough. We need each other. Even myself need correction and instruction. That's something I have learned this past week. We all need pastors, we all need parents or brothers and sisters in Christ who can what? Correct us. And guess what? When you acknowledge that you need your parents to guide you and direct you, when you have pastors and elders, when you have brothers and sisters that are willing to come alongside of you, when you listen, that's wisdom. Amen? That's wisdom. We can learn from the wisdom of others even if it includes their past struggles and failures. Can I tell you this? In my time of learning in regards to when I was helped with that pastor, in regards to my anger problem, I listened to his instruction of pointing me to study the book of Proverbs. Despite of my failures in the past, and how I have prayed that God used my struggle, used my past sin, to encourage others that they too would walk in the right way. So, and God has used me to counsel others by His grace, by His mercy, to come alongside a brother or a sister who has problem with anger. You think about and how those things that happened in your life and how God has transformed you and how He has used you in the past because God has given you wisdom in those areas. And that's something that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When you and I are faced with affliction, and Paul tells us there that our affliction is not for us, but it is for what? For others. That we go through difficulties, we go through trials in our lives, and as we seek God, as we seek His Word, He uses us to help others go through what they're going through. Because God has already given us biblical wisdom. I don't know where you are in your life today, if you need correction or you need instruction. Maybe someone's been talking to you with a particular sin in your life or your lack of in this area. May you be humble before God. And humble yourself to come to that individual and say, you know, brother, you know what, sister, I do need help. It's about that first step of acknowledging your need. Because we can learn from the wisdom of others. Verse 3. Wisdom is the knowledge of good and evil. Wisdom is the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 3, Solomon says that wisdom is ethical. He says the purpose of the book is for you as a reader to receive the correction in order to be wise in righteousness, justice, and integrity. Therefore, biblical wisdom is not intelligence or even a high IQ. Praise God, I don't have that. It's the knowledge of good and evil. A wise person can tell the difference between right and wrong in the situation in which they find themselves. Verse 4, wisdom is discernment. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Wisdom is the ability to read a situation and make the right decision. That's the point of the book. It is for us the ability to read a situation and make the right decision. And think about a situation in your life and in how you need to make the right decision. You see, Solomon wants to give this discernment to the inexperienced. To whom? Who is he speaking to directly? And it says right there in verse 4, who's he talking to? To the youth. Why? Because the young people are what? Are inexperienced. As we will see, Proverbs gives categories of people. And he categorized them by their inexperience and mocking and foolish, they're wise, etc. Inexperienced people are not wise or foolish yet. Instead, they are open to instruction and wisdom or folly. They are susceptible and usually believe the most recent thing they have heard. They are easily enticed or persuaded. Could that be you today? This is the audience that King Solomon is going after because there is still hope. Inexperience and youthfulness often go hand in hand, and that is why King Solomon is so concerned, as it is in Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, with parents teaching their children right and wrong. Can I speak to the parents, to the grandparents, and how we have responsibility to what? To guide and to lead our children to the truth. Proverbs tells those of us who are parents and even grandparents that it is our task, it is our responsibility to what? To instruct our children in what? In wisdom. Amen, parents? Can I get a big amen from our parents and grandparents? That you have that responsibility. Why? Because our children are what? They could just be doing something else. There are times, you know, I want to leave now. I want to go do my own and live my life. Next thing you know, they come back and all ruined, right? Wisdom emerges from your life when you take heed your parents' warnings or instructions. See, here's the beautiful part when children listen to our instruction. Amen. All the parents are all excited. At the same time, like, no, as much as we want them to listen to us, they just like, you know what, Pastor, you don't know my kid. You don't want to go through every day with my child. Right? They see this on TV, they see this on social media, next thing you know, they're following the most popular person in social media. Right? And where's the wisdom in that? We as parents, we need to take the seriousness of our responsibility to guide our children. You and I have the first and foremost responsibility to do that, to instruct them. Pastor, what about me who do not have biblical parents who are actively reading God's word and actively worshiping and walking with Christ? Brothers or sisters, if you are here today, if that's you, seek us out. Seek the elders, seek the sisters in Christ who you see that are mature in the faith. They might have their own struggle, amen? They might have their past failures, but you know what? They can come alongside and give you guidance and direction in how you need to move forward with your life. Those who are young and those who are inexperienced need to acquire the ability to perceive what's going on, make the right decisions, and avoid the bad ones. I hope you young people today are listening to this in verse 4 and acknowledge that, you know what, I'm inexperienced, I am young, I'm innocent. Right? You're all excited because so-and-so is doing this, and like, you want, dad and mom, this is what I want to become when I grow up. Right? We have this culture that the moment I turn 18, I'm on my own, man. I got a job. What's that about? That's not biblical culture. That's the world culture, especially here in America. Right? You and I need to think biblically in how we approach life. So young people, seek the help of your parents in humility. For those who does not have or do not have parents who can guide you biblically, seek a brother or a sister out. Amen? So that they could pray with you. That they could look at scripture with you and guide you through that. 5 and 6. Wisdom is obtaining guidance. Solomon says that a wise man will listen and increase in learning. A wise man will acquire direction and guidance. This is interesting. The audience that Solomon refers to in this verse is a wise person. He says that the wise need to grow in what? In learning and in direction. Wait, doesn't being wise mean that you have arrived at the place where you don't need to learn anymore? Solomon says that's a foolish outlook on life. The truly wise will have the humility to know that they still need to listen to counsel instead of having the arrogance to think they have what? That they have arrived. The wise recognize that no one graduates. Even me, I need guidance. I need wisdom from my brothers and my sisters. And as I was studying this series and this message, what came to my mind, I texted Pastor Richard. That's weird. We're so used to saying Elder Richard for the last 10 years, right? And Pastor Richard, and I texted him. I said, brother, thank you for the wisdom and the guidance you have helped me the last 10 years, and just made me miss him more, right? And how through elders meeting, and how through one-on-one, and how through text, and how much I appreciated his wisdom and guidance. My personality and his personality are totally different. My personality with Nash is different, and with my father-in-law, we're all different, and we're starting to see Pastor Junior. We're all different. We need each other. We need each other's wisdom. You see, we can't have this attitude that doesn't matter how old you are, how smart or intelligent you think you are, it's that you have not arrived. We will never arrive. That we will continue to pursue together in this area. So this is what it looks like for us to recognize that we all need to hear the wisdom of Proverbs again and again throughout our lives. So when I'm telling you that when you read the book of Proverbs for the next 31 days, is that when you stop? Are you going to stop in August 31 and say, Pastor, I graduated, I finished reading the book, it was so good, especially chapter 31, and how I need to look for a wife, and how I need to be a better wife. Is that what it's talking about? Right? And then September 1, what you going to do? Just read it. Back to Proverbs 1. I said, what? Right? Because we all need the Proverbs over and over. Wisdom is not a goal to attain. It's a pursuit that you spend your whole life on. Wisdom is not a goal to attain. It is a pursuit that you and I spend our whole life on. Solomon says, the point of the book is to help you understand this wise saying so you can be wise and make wise decisions in your daily life. Wisdom is being corrected and disciplined. Wisdom understands and reads situations. Wisdom is godly morality. Wisdom is justice. Wisdom is discretion and discernment of right and wrong, stupid and smart, what path to take and which one to avoid. Wisdom is listening to instruction and receiving guidance. But the question is, now that we know what wisdom is, what's the next question as we close our time? How can we get it? In verse 7, how do you get wisdom? What is the key to being wise? Right? Do you go up in the mountain and run away from the world and you know what? I'm going to be a monk. That's going to make me wise. I'm going to write all these proverbs. Rudy is. Right? I can't even finish the sentence. I don't even know where I was going with that. But you get wisdom. Listen to this. If you want wisdom, you get wisdom by reverent trust in the Lord. You get wisdom by reverent trust in the Lord. How can we be wise like this? How can we learn to read situation and make wise decisions? As we will see throughout the book, Solomon says that all wisdom is religious or spiritual in nature because it's only through a relationship with the Lord that one can be wise. So don't expect the world that you read about. Those people are wise. Doesn't matter what their title is in the world, right? But you and I need to understand this and how important it is for us that those who have a relationship with the Lord is the one who can be wise. The fear of the reverence for Yahweh, for the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. So you need to have that reverence, that respect, right? It's the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and discipline, but the wise person is the one who fears, who trusts, and reverences Yahweh, the Lord. This is the first step and the essential component in gaining wisdom, the fear of the Lord. And that entails what? Reverence. The everyday details of your life are to be lived in fear of God. There's no sacred and secular divide in your life. We so often think that going to church and mission efforts and quiet times are the godly things we do in life. Other things like our work, our kids, sports teams, or how we spend our money are the secular or neutral parts of our life. King Solomon crushes all of that. The everyday decisions that you and I make are to be done in the fear of the Lord. Listen. The everyday decisions that you and I make are to be done, listen, what? In the fear, in the respect, in honor of Yahweh. And the everyday decisions we make reveal whether or not we fear the Lord. Did you see that? Did you hear that? The way that you and I make all the decisions in our lives, it really shows, it really reveals whether or not we fear the Lord. So what decisions have you made lately that you recognize, that really reveal that you have this honor and respect for the Lord? Amen? Think of that moment. Let's say even this past week, the decisions that you have made in regards to your marriage, in regards to your personal relationship, whether you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, what decisions about your finances, and all those things. God is concerned with your whole life. The everyday decisions we make are indicators of whether we fear Him or not. How you eat dinner, how you finish tasks assigned to you, how you spend money, how you parent your kids, and how you respond to your parents are all before whom? Before the Lord. See, all those things that you and I make decisions on are to be done unto whom? Unto the Lord. every part of your life, every part of my life is to be governed by whom? By whom, church? Talk to me. By whom?
The Lord.
It is to be God. That has to be true in your life. That has to be true in my life, in everything, in every decision that I make. Whether I go to McDonald's or Jack in the Box or Taco Bell, which three restaurants that I can make decisions unto the Lord? Did you hear me? You know what? I just go to In-N-Out. That might be a better decision for me. It could be healthy. Maybe I'm wrong. But you know what I'm talking about? Even the little things that you make decisions on, it has to be done unto whom? Unto the Lord. Am I going to go to Costco or Arco or Shell? Which gas station do I go? Right? I'm just talking about little things. It could be funny, but it has to be done. Every decision, when I said every decision, even the little ones. Is Johnny going to take off his shirt and get cold in the car? That was a decision that Nash was making when he left the house today. Johnny, put your shirts on. Right? He said, no, I'm hot, Dad. Leave me alone. See, he doesn't have wisdom. He doesn't know any better. Right? Now you can relate. Because it's Johnny. He's so cute, like me. That's a wise decision. But you know what? And this is what we see. That every part of your life is to be governed by God. The only way to be wise is to trust the Lord. To trust in the Lord. Be in a relationship with Him. Wisdom comes from Yahweh. In chapter 2, verse 6. So we are taught in the Bible to ask Him. In James chapter 1, it tells us that. You need to turn there and see it in James chapter 1. In regards to wisdom. If you're struggling with wisdom, God says, ask! Ask for wisdom and don't be shaky. Don't be half in and half out when you ask. Ask. He's willing to give it to you wholeheartedly. Without. He's not going to hold back when you ask for wisdom. And this is why we ask. Read James chapter 1. According to Proverbs, this wisdom is filtered through receiving instruction from a human mediator like a sage or a parent. In our context, I might mean a parent or a godly and a wise friend, a Bible teacher, or even a pastor. Fools are arrogant and refuse correction in verse 7. They are worse than the inexperienced because they are not open to changing their minds. I hope that's not you. I hope that you're willing. I hope that you will not refuse correction and instruction in your life today. Wherever you are in your life, that you will not become a fool. Like the verse is telling us. The question we all need to ask ourselves is, what category am I in? Am I one who is open to instruction of the Lord? Or am I one who is humble enough to seek counsel? Or am I know-it-all? Or am I a person who always thinks I'm right? Foolishness is doing what is right in your own eyes instead of what God has revealed. Doing what is right in our own eyes is a recipe for what? Finish it. It's a recipe for disaster. Just read the book of Judges. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and the result was chaos in Judges chapter 17 all the way to 21. You see, church, we need a loving and wise king who can rule over us. Proverbs reveals that Solomon is training a son of David to do just that. And in the fullness of time, we see that his name is Jesus of Nazareth. You see, Solomon fails to live out the wisdom of Proverbs. And so does his king Rehoboam. Right? So his king Solomon walking, how many Proverbs did he have? How many? 3,000, right? And then you know what? Can I tell you some bad news? He failed. Miserably. His son failed miserably. Who shows his fullness by listening to his peers rather than the elders of Israel. And you'll see that in 1 Kings chapter 12. But Isaiah chapter 11 promises that the Messiah will be the embodiment of the book of Proverbs. I love this. As we close for the second time, he is described with the words of Proverbs in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And when Jesus bursts onto the scene, he grows in wisdom and stature and favor with God and people in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. He's called greater than Solomon in Matthew chapter 12. And the wisdom of God for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 and 30. In him are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Getting wisdom is important because it will help you make decisions in everyday life. It will help you win at life, but failing to get wisdom will destroy your very life. The problem for all of us is that we have failed repeatedly because even when we know what to do, we often do not do it. This reveals our brokenness. Where do we turn? Yes, we could read the book of Proverbs. Now we know that that the writer of Proverbs, even King Solomon, he had failed in giving instruction. So what's the answer for us? How can we become wise when we are so broken we can even do what we know is right? That's a very question that you and I need to answer. What if wisdom wasn't a concept or an idea or a set of ideas you had to learn at all? What if wisdom was a person you could know and have a relationship with? What if wisdom was a person you could love and walk with, and just by knowing, loving, and walking with this person, it would actually make you wise? What if wisdom was a person who spoke to you by listening to wisdom's voice, you could actually grow in wisdom? Proverbs will teach us that wisdom is not an Israelite. It is not a bunch of tips you can learn to live out. Wisdom is a person, Jesus Christ. Through a relationship with him, you can be reconciled to God, to others, and to the world around you. Through a relationship with him, he will begin to produce in you the wisdom he lives out, the wisdom of Proverbs. When you read the life of Christ in the book of Luke, and how when he went to the temple, right? That's a beautiful picture. When he went to the temple and how the wise teachers there, older than Christ at the age of 12, and they said that, man, this kid got it. He has wisdom, biblical wisdom. You see, church, as you and I approach the book of Proverbs, I know we want to live it out, and we struggle. And perhaps even you parents, and you know what, you're excited now, you want to guide, you want to be there for your children, you want to help them through. Maybe your brother or sisters wants to walk along with someone who's struggling or who needs guidance and needs wisdom in this area. Then what do? I know you're broken, I'm broken, but be humble enough to receive the instruction from the Lord. Amen. You and I need to do it. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. We need biblical wisdom in our lives. Let me close with Psalm chapter 19. It's something that we have read earlier on in our scripture reading. And how we approach this. May this be our prayer. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. You see, when you and I approach God's word, when we approach and revere God for who he is and what he has done in our lives, and how we would gain wisdom, I hope that you would take this in all seriousness. And wherever you are in your life, you may need some help at this time and you need guidance. you may need to seek out help and do that. And listen to the instruction in what that person will give you. Doesn't matter because you're older and that person is younger than you. You could benefit from their wisdom. Amen? I need that. We need each other. Our Father, thank you for this time. We glorify you and we thank you, God, for the wisdom you've given us. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have this hope and we can live a life that pleases you because of your Son. Not because of our own doing, not because of our own abilities, but because of who Christ is. And thank you, dear Lord, for giving us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who resides in us, that we will know how to walk accordingly. God, I pray for your people here at Resolve, here in person as well, those watching online. I pray, Father, that you would lead us, that we would be faithful and living out your truth. As we read this, as we study this together, God, that you would open our eyes, that indeed that we may behold every truth of your word. So help us now. We give you praise and we give you glory. In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray, and everyone said, Amen.